Desolation Angel Radio, March 21st, Kip Williams with you, continuing these chronicles of the virus, these chronicles of the strange days, these strange days we live in. Great, wonderful time tonight with Robert Dean. We'll get into that in a minute. Start off with some music here.
Well, I tried, and I can't run no more. Now tell Katie, it's her that I adore. And as long as I love her best, well, I'm that much further west.
Love that tune. Like I said, Desolation Angel Radio, and we're continuing in our mission tonight that we've started every night, bringing you the voices of everyday people across America, that their observations, their feelings, the things going on with them as we live in these strange days that will change forever how we live and forever moving forward. Tonight was a conversation with a man that I got to know down in New Orleans when he was living there and I was living there, Robert Dean, a very good writer, writes for a lot of national publications, but he's living in Austin, Texas now, and he and I decided to take a Saturday night, since we're having we both have in Austin and Buffalo the basically quarantine in place orders in place, to which is only the smart thing to do, to try and get this back under control. But we had a wide-ranging conversation, fascinating. He's a fascinating guy with a truly brilliant viewpoint. And so I'll jump into that interview now and then talk to you again after it's over. And as I said, we're here with Robert Dean, an author who has ties to Chicago, New Orleans, and now resides in Austin. I read a great piece of his the other day, and we'll talk about that in just a minute, because I thought it was pretty moving. How are you?
I'm good. Just getting used to hanging around the house and never putting on pants and wearing the same camouflage cargo shorts for like 2 weeks now, and just hanging out, you know, just being gross. My beard is nasty. Not like that I'm not taking care of it, but it's getting all caveman-like, and I can use a haircut. I figure I'm just going to come out of this thing looking like total, just gross Neanderthal.
I have a whole Albert Einstein thing going with the wings on either side of my head, because I'm gray and so bald on top. And at one point in time in my life, it was really curly and thick. So I've got, it's a cross between Bozo the Clown and Albert Einstein. And
young Frankenstein.
yeah, pretty much, or going all the way back in the day for people who remember it, Sally Field and the Flying Nun. I got that going on. But you're down in Texas where the weather has changed a little bit. I'm up here in Buffalo. And it is March. Like today was a 39 degree day, but there are still hardcore guys out there right now going, it's spring and I'm wearing cargo shorts.
Yeah, we only really in Texas. I've been here for almost 7 years now.
Yeah.
And I've gotten used to the like winter, and I say winter in parentheses, because it's realistically by now is when we get little cold snaps and rain. But beyond that, I mean, once March rolls through, typically, it was 2 days ago, it was 77 and beautiful outside, and then it's cold and rainy this weekend, but then tomorrow it'll be back in the 80s, and it's in the 80s for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, we're actually supposed to climb to the 60s this week, because we're finally in that you know, Western New York weather pattern where it will start to warm up. And it's interesting because we're going on what Governor Cuomo is calling a pause as of tomorrow night. We have been on stay home if you're not essential services and keep social distancing mode. He put an executive order in place that as of 8 o'clock tomorrow night basically says no matter who you are, if you are not an essential worker, an essential services person, you are home and you are to maintain even no matter what at all times a 6 foot distance from other people. So we're going to slow even further down, which I'm in complete agreement with. The number, I looked at the numbers today and they're astronomical, and we've got to find a way to slow this down and stop and slow the transmission.
Yeah, I don't. The measures that people are taking act like it. Insane. They're like, oh my god, you're ruining my way of life. You're literally being asked to hide out in your house, nap, and watch Netflix. Like, how terrible is that? Catch up on your book, do some yoga. You literally are getting like 2 week vacation, just do whatever the fuck you want in the like, comfort of your own home. Whatever. You want to build some model airplanes, you want to finally like catch that hole in the ceiling for when you threw a beer can at it. Drunk at a party, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know a lot of people that have always said, man, I really, really want to deep clean, you know, my house or that room. Now is your chance.
Now's your chance. You always wanted to turn that old extra bedroom into a home office? Now's your chance. You ever wanted to paint the kitchen and you got the paint and are you already in your garage and it's been sitting there waiting for you? Now you can do that. It's just like, I don't get this incessant need for people to want to be in the world when if you practice a little bit of fucking responsibility, we can get past this and we can actually enjoy our summer. The way that we're going right now, with how people are acting, it's like, dude, seriously, I want to go to opening day for baseball. I want to actually enjoy the summer. You know, I want to be back in a bar again. Like, I miss being in a bar. But
yeah.
It's not that. It's not the idea of getting fucked up that I miss. It's the idea of, like, the ability to go to a place where I feel comfortable, can have fun. I miss the smell of bars. And you know, that the vibe of a good dive bar. And right now, it's missing for my life. I miss sitting down in a restaurant to eat. And as much as I like cooking, because I love to cook, sometimes I just want to go get tacos. I do live in, you know, in Texas, where I'm surrounded by fantastic Mexican food. I would like to get my life back to fucking normal, if people could just, you know, chill out.
Oh, yeah, I live in Buffalo with like nine of the most insane Italian restaurants you could ever want to walk into, and that's not happening right now. It's just that simple, you know, and I miss that. You know?
Somebody was getting on, it was somebody on Facebook, and they're like, oh, I'm going to live my life, and I'm going to do that, and I just went off on this person because they were talking about that. I was like, do you think that I wanted to see South by Southwest camp? I was having 20 different friends from around the world going to come to town and play shows, and I was going to get paid to cover it. I lost about $600 worth of journalist work. Do you think I wanted to miss opening day for the Chicago White Sox? No, I had great seats, and I was going to go with two of my best friends. I was going to go to my aunt's surprise 80th birthday. I'm in the process of making a TV show. I was supposed to go to CNN and Netflix and a whole bunch of places in April, and it's all on hold. Do you think I want to be sitting here with all of my life's work sitting in fucking perpetual limbo? No, but it is what it is. Just let's get through this so we can get back to fucking normal.
Yeah, I mean, you saw my story on Instagram today, because I, at least now before the pause, I have been able to go out and do grocery store runs for elderly folks, cancer and transplant patients, immune suppressed folks, people who should not be out at all. It doesn't make me a fucking hero. It doesn't make me a saint. It's just being a decent human being. But I dress appropriately for it. Single use gloves, mask, and I'm waiting to check out, and this guy is crowded right up on me with a cart full of toilet paper and beer. And I turned around to ask him to back up, and he looks at me and goes, you scared? Because I'm not scared. I'm just, you know, I'm not scared. And I went, no, I'm trying to be responsible because I'm shopping for somebody else. By the way, what's your name, sir? And he told me his name, and he went, why do you need to know that? I said, so 2 years from now, when I see it on the memorial wall, I can remember this moment. You know, people need to chill out and understand the science behind what's happening. You know, you could be carrying it and not know you're carrying it. It is transmissible from human to human. You know,
I was talking to somebody in the same respect of, you know, I'm going to live my life and all that, and moving the disease and stuff. I'm like, look, I was married to an award-winning ICU nurse who is a fucking badass.
Yeah.
Like, if you're sick, you want my ex-wife to take care of you. The things that my ex-wife has told me about what the state of Texas and the city of Austin are doing for preparedness would make a regular person, normally dark hair, get a couple of gray streaks in it.
Oh,
the shit that hospitals are preparing for is fucking frightening.
Yep.
So
my son is an ICU nurse, Bobby. So
yeah,
he volunteered for their coronavirus unit. If people knew the descriptions I get and you've gotten, oh man,
like setting up whole wards, like they're ready to take her hospital and move it completely out of non-critical patients to other hospitals, to move them to other places, other hospitals in the city of Texas. And this one hospital is going to be ground zero. That's the mother of my children. So if there's a lot of emotional baggage there to bear. But people need to realize that even if that somehow things aren't as serious as they perceive them to be, and it's all this big hurried mess, and we're overreacting because some X people died because of the flu, you know what? Let's at least look at this as an opportunity to really think about our humanity and what we're learning as people. Because I think when we come out of this on the other side, I legitimately think the way America operates and to an extent the world operates, I think a lot of shit is going to change.
It has to.
I don't think that we're going to come out of this the same country.
It has to. And I'm with you. I don't see how we can come out the other side of this without it changing, because it suddenly in this uber capitalist society we lived in, the most critical people that we need to continue to survive every day is just blatant and out there in people's faces. It's nurses. It's truck drivers. It's grocery store clerks and shelf stocking guys. You know, those are the people that up until 3 weeks ago, everybody looked and said, like the shelf stocking people. People were looking at them going 3 weeks ago going, you want $15 an hour? Who do you think you are?
Exactly. That's the thing is, right now, who's cooking your lunch? Who's making them burgers at McDonald's? Somebody that's earning a fucking living. And they're doing it because they know it's their responsibility and they don't want to lose their living, but they're also knowing that it's their social responsibility to do so.
Oh, yeah.
The
story I told you about my truck driver friend who told me, she told me that Subway has told them, you eat for free. You pull in the lot, we'll give you a sandwich.
Yeah, I mean, I've been, every time I see somebody from the coffee, the other day I picked up a coffee and I tipped the baristas $20 and she got all teary-eyed and was like, thank you so much. And today this guy dropped off some Mexican food and I tipped in cash. I know my ex-wife, I was over here to watch my kids and my ex-wife tipped him in the app, but I tipped him cash on top of it. But the rise of the hourly worker was finally understanding who is the real backbone of America, because I don't see any rich motherfuckers getting out there with their masks on and their gloves on, putting the work in. Instead, it's regular people that people understand. We're going to see the rise of the hourly worker get their sick time, be treated like humans and be treated with respect. But also, I think that we're about America's finally understanding. I'm a full-blown democratic socialist. I'm a progressive. I have no fucking use for Republican politics. I have no use for liberal politics at this point. It's either you get on track with us to move this country ahead or you get left behind. And right now, there are two tenets that I've seen in the people. When a couple of weeks ago, when Bernie Sanders' platforms came up and people were like, that shit's insane. You can't even imagine what kind of world we would live in where we would give people money. That, like with Andrew Yang talking about universal income. But right now, what do you think bailing out your people is for, in the greater good, to say that we're going to save all of our economy, we're going to give our people money so their lives don't crash and everything else falls apart? That's socialism. When you're finally seeing, the American medical institution, who has fucked its workers, it has fucked its customers, it has put profits over people for generations, we're finally seeing how corrupt of a system that is. The insurance companies are corrupt. All of that shit is corrupt. The politicians with their hands in the pockets are corrupt. We saw provable four different politicians, including Dianne Feinstein, who has a remarkably good track record for social justice. Shit her hands in the cookie jar, too. As far as I'm concerned, bring out the fucking guillotine on all these people. But we're seeing it firsthand. We're seeing people understand, holy shit, all of these things that we have been led to believe in our society as neutral goods and chaotic evils and all that, it's all a fucking smoke show, man.
Yeah.
You need to take account for how your government treats you. Like, if for the first time in my life, I hate Donald Trump. I hate him. I hate him with every fiber of my being. I have nothing good to say about him except right now. The only thing I can possibly give you on the positivity of that dude is that with the stimulus package right now, Trump stood with the Democrats and broke with the fucking Republicans. If you do your homework, if you're listening to this podcast, go look at Mitch McConnell's first draft of the American stimulus package. That dude is a fucking ghoul. It was $1 trillion, 80% of it was dedicated to helping out big business. Everything that was left for the little guy was about 20%. It was $1,000 to $1,200, one-time payment. It was $600 for low-wage workers, the ones who are saving our ass right now. which essentially would fuck all bartenders because it's not provable income, and it's based on your 2018 tax return.
Yeah.
Democrats weren't having it. Democrats wanted $4,000 to $5,000 with a rolling possibility, depending on the length of this thing. They wanted full unemployment benefits, and they wanted a continual revision of what is going on, so in case that this thing lasts longer, there's a foot to stand in. But one of the biggest things that McConnell and them weren't telling people, but they snuck it in there, was this thing of buybacks, where giving the airline industry and the hospitality industry basically bailout money instead of just letting them have low interest loans when they get themselves out of the hole. Say, here's a couple of billion dollars. When you get there, here's a really, really easy loan for you. When you get there, give us the money. We're all still friends. McConnell was ready to just give them a blank check. Trump and the Democrats said, no, absolutely not. We're not giving you this money without provisions. And on top of that, they said, you're not allowed to do buybacks, which buybacks are snuck in there. A buyback is when the stock has been taken a beating, and those airlines, like Delta Airlines, can go, you know what? We're going to buy all of our stock back at this really shitty price, and when the market bounces back, we're going to sell it off and make a killer profit. The American government and the people get fucked. Yeah. And we're going to make a whole bunch of money. And Trump stood with Democrats and did not go with the buybacks thing. So for the first time ever, probably because it's an election year and probably because he's made a lot of promises to working people, but for the first time ever, I will fucking agree that Trump is on the right side of history. He wants to give more people more money than the Democrats do. So we're going to see right now, when I saw it last, it was over $2 trillion because of long-term provisions, which, again, if you saw that first one, McConnell and his fucking cronies are nothing but fucking horror show movie actors. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
I love that. I really do, man. You wrote a piece the other day, and let me read it on a preview. And it was one of those where I just sat there, and there was a couple points where I just, and I love it when I read a piece that makes me draw my breath in and go, huh, you know, and we're not going to read it here on the air tonight. I want people to go, to Robert Dean's, Facebook page and read it. Are you going to put it up there?
Yeah, I'll copy and paste it and put it on Facebook. I had written it. I've been writing this last week. All of my outlets, everywhere that I write for. Mm-hmm. If you have no idea, you're like, who the fuck is this dude? I write for like the Austin American Statesman. I've written for Forbes. I've written for Texas Monthly, Consequence of Sound, Farce the Music.
Right. I know who you've written for. I read your stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, for whoever's listening, so I read for a laundry list of places.
Uh-huh.
And I wrote this, and I wrote this specifically for Kip. And I'm going to put it on my Facebook as kind of like a insular, reflective thing. And the one thing that's nice about my Facebook following is that it's a really strong community of people who read, and they share my work, and they talk to each other. They don't shit on each other. We have these really interesting conversations. And so I've been very lucky to have started building a community on social media that actually, like, is frank and discusses things and cares about what each other has to say. So I'm going to see how it reacts on there.
Yeah, I think it will have a very good reaction. I do. Man, I don't know about you, but I keep thinking about our old city. I keep thinking about New Orleans. Their numbers are skyrocketing, and their healthcare professionals are very concerned. The figure I saw today was they are concerned that their hospitals will be beyond capacity within 7 to 10 days, based on the numbers they're seeing now. I mean, I disagreed completely, and my friends down in New Orleans knew it. I disagreed completely with going ahead with Mardi Gras. I understand how important it is. I lived there just like you did, but it's like, folks, this thing is ripping around the world right now, and you're about to put 750,000 to 1.5 million people inside that little 3 foot below sea level soup bowl. You know, it's like, this is not a good idea.
See, when they did Mardi Gras, I don't think myself included and the rest of the world, like, we didn't think it was going to come here like it did. I mean, was it a possibility? Because when Corona finally started, like, sinking its teeth into America, it was like a little nibble. And I was in Los Angeles doing TV show stuff, and I went to the urgent care because I have really bad allergies. I was like, why is the coronavirus? Has it gotten over here? And he's like, no, dude, you just have really bad allergies. And which is true. I have extraordinarily bad allergies. And so at that time when Mardi Gras was kicking off, I just don't think we had enough information, and I don't think those of us who weren't, like, watching with hawk eyes in terms of how it was going to play out. I mean, when I was in L.A., I was like, I was there during Mardi Gras. I was in Los Angeles, and I was fully expecting to come home and do South by. It's just, it moves so fucking fast.
Yeah, and I say that, but by the same token, you know, I had a different viewpoint than everybody else because of what I used to do for a living and the industry I worked in. And I did a lot of stats and probability, and it was worldwide. So I'm looking at it. I was looking at it back in January, horrified, going, here this comes. Oh, man, nobody even knows what's coming. Doing the math in my head. But by the same token, you know, what do you do? You know, pick the telephone up and call the governor's office and go, you don't know me, but I can do math in my head, and this is what I used to do for a living, and here's what nobody's going to listen to that. You know? It unfortunately.
Hey, we're about to. I'm about to think your biggest money making event that sets your entire economy for the next year.
Yeah,
you probably shouldn't do that.
Right. Yeah. That would not go over big, and it wouldn't fly anyhow, no matter what. So
I mean, in a matter of a week, the state of Texas lost $1 billion.
Yep.
It was we didn't have the Houston because of the Houston Rodeo, San Antonio Fiesta. And South by Southwest all happened within 10 days of each other.
Yeah, and that's a bill gone. Yeah.
Huh?
That's a bill gone right there.
Yep, that's $1 billion we lost that on our economy. But, you know, I mean, again, that's one of those things is Texas was proactive at canceling all three of those. They did include people's lives. And when it first happened, I was like, what the fuck? This is just the flu. You guys are overreacting. And then just, I think we all didn't have any expectation of what this is, because the unknown is we've never dealt with anything like this in our lifetimes. And again, Italy had 900 fucking people die yesterday.
Like, yeah, in a day.
In a day. And they're wiping out a lot of old people, and you can be this sick, young point of view, but you're, no one's safe, man. It's like, I saw this meme where somebody said, it was like, well, if it's a 97% recovery rate, why are we freaking out? Somebody goes, if I give you 100 Skittles and three of them are poison, so you're going to eat those 100 Skittles? You're like, exactly.
Exactly. And I've seen that one, too, and I'm in complete agreement with you. You know, and the other thing is now, as it hits here, it's not exclusively 60-plus. You know, you're seeing 39-year-olds, 40-year-olds, 41-year-olds. So it's going to fundamentally change who we are and the way we live. And you and I were talking about that before we came on air. It's going to fundamentally change that. And it should. And we need to understand things about the common good. Lessons that we learned all the way back in the 30s with the New Deal, all the way back when unions were formed, that the common good is the greater good. That we're only as good as how we treat our weakest members of society. Those things. We're relearning those lessons all over again because somehow we forgot them as a culture. You know? We did.
Yeah, I mean, we got so dug deep into capitalism and the 80s and what's good for me. Individualistic capitalism it has to come to an end where people, like, I'm not saying don't make your money, and I'm not wanting to become, you know, Vladimir Lenin and Che Guevara or any of that shit. No, man. Make your money, live your life, have your house, whatever you want to do. But don't do it on the backs of, like, this Bengali corporate America vampire bullshit. The time has come when we have to look inward at ourselves and ask, why is it that right now, when we aren't flooding the skies full of traffic, we're not polluting, everything has stopped, why did the fucking canals in Italy clear up? Why is it that in Poland you can see mountains that were clouded with smog on the Russian side? Why are we, like, why are trampled bike paths suddenly springing up with life? Why are animals that weren't seen in areas in a couple of years coming back? Let that be a lesson to understanding that we are part of a microcosm of the place that we live in. We are not the place. And at the same time, look, within the last, like, year, I have scaled my eating habits to a more vegetarian, healthier lifestyle, but I still like meat. I still like eating things. I still like getting in there and trying weird shit, and I've eaten a lot of weird shit, but let's just take a moment to be like, we probably shouldn't have, like, wet markets where people are frying up fat, because that's how we got this whole thing started. If somebody got sick from eating a fucking bat.
Yep. And that's the other thing that I keep seeing fueled is conspiracy theory and everything else. It was not bioengineered, folks. It was an animal-to-animal virus that made the jump from animal to human in a wet market because somebody decided they wanted to eat either a bat or a pangolin, you know?
I'd seen that, like, conspiracy theory, and I shot it down. I was like, look, here's an easy way you can shoot down that conspiracy theory. Somebody's like, oh, it was a bioweapon. Like, Wuhan is a place where they make a bunch of different...
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah.
I was like, okay, let me explain just two points of view, and then when I'm done with this, you can figure that out on your own. For one, there are thousands of scientists around the world, the smartest medical scientific minds in the world. Not in America, not in a small town, not in a college. The world working to dissect and understand how this virus works. If it was man-made, you don't think some brilliant guy from MIT or this woman in Sydney, Australia, who's won the Pulitzer Prize for genetic coding and all that kind of stuff. These people are working around the clock to figure this thing out. You don't think that they would have noticed an irregularity? You don't think that these brilliant minds from around the world would have figured that out? And then when somebody's like, what was the thing that China did, slipped out, it was a whoops, and you're like, so if China literally was trying to create a bioweapon that sunk the world's economy, killed a large portion of the older population of the world, you don't think that the entire world, even their allies, would turn against them, therefore wrecking everything that they've built in the last 20 years? You don't think that that wouldn't happen between economically, militarily, and everything known to man? You think the fucking Nazis got it bad? These dudes would be right there in terms of how bad somebody would fucking get them in terms of the repercussions that China would face. So those two scenarios are a little bit far-fetched.
Yeah, they're real far-fetched. I mean, and the other thing is about those, and I look at it this way, that's a convenient way for people to avoid looking at the fact that we are only part of the ecosystem and we screwed it up. Because if you throw it off on a conspiracy theory, then you don't have to look at, oh, I'm part of screwing up the ecosystem and the biosphere. It's an easy way to avoid that guilt. You know, because I've switched over to a largely vegetarian and vegan diet over the last year too. You know, I really have tried to eat healthier.
It's for me, it was more or less for the last 20 years, I have been on and off practicing Buddhist. And it's not, I don't mean to say it like some kind of like holier than thou dickhead. It's just the practice and the way of life and the point of view makes sense.
Yeah.
I also have a deep respect for Krishna as well. So like between Krishna and Buddhism and thinking about my actions to the world and how the choices I make and how I interact with people and what I expect out of people and what I expect out of social systems, that is what draws me to Buddhism. And so I have been 20 years in the game of 2 years on, 3 years off, 5 years on, 7 years off, and I have these comings and goings. In the last year, I had really been searching for something that was missing, and I found it was back really paying attention to my actions and being mindful and meditating. And then I started thinking about my food system of what am I eating in the sense of, from the Krishna point of view, is if somebody offers me something, I'll eat it because it was a gift offered, and I should never say no to a meal because somebody put their passion into it, and that's a reflection of my karma. But also, when I make choices to eat something, I'm choosing not to eat things that have a mother. They're choosing to think that we're eating, that we're going, just living its life. So it's no preachier than holier than thou bullshit. I don't care what you do with your life. Yeah. I'm just trying to find better ways to be better for myself. But I learned that by eating a little bit better and cleaner and paying attention to, like, downing cheeseburgers and that shit, I felt better on a variety of levels, not just, like, how my stomach felt, which also is a massive thing because I have stomach issues.
Yeah. I get, and that what you just laid out really is not preachy bullshit. It's about integrity, and it's about living your integrity, and I applaud you for that. I do.
Yeah, I mean, like, I try to, like, just maintain a vegan till dinner diet or vegetarian till dinner diet. Yeah. I don't ask anybody to follow along with me. If somebody was like, "Hey, I just want to stop eating meat," I'm like, "Dude, we're 2020. There is so much good vegetarian food you're surrounded with. Even if you live in some bumfuck town in Arkansas, they got a Taco Bell, and Taco Bell has a certified vegan menu.
Yep.
Burger King has Impossible Whoppers that are fucking delicious. You can find something to eat wherever you go at this point. Your local Chinese food spot, your local Thai spot, your local Mexican spot, everywhere's got vegetarian food now.
Yep. It most certainly does. Well, anyhow, I'm going to wrap this up, because we're this is the and go with the I have no idea where that sentence just went. I love doing live interviews, but anyhow, I'm going to start to wind this up and remind people. This is Robert Dean, who is a widely read writer for a variety of publications. He wrote a piece that's quite stunning, and he's going to put it on his Facebook page, the Robert Dean Facebook page.
Yeah, you can look up Robert Dean's World, I think it is.
Yeah.
It's a picture of me under, like, a pair of hands of, like, that look like the Wu-Tang symbol. You can find me on Instagram as well. It's, like, literally Robert Dean is my Instagram name, but if you look up Robert Dean on Facebook, I'm gigantic and covered in tattoos. I look like a fucking aging punk rocker, which I am.
Yes, you are.
So, I'm creeping 40.
Hey, well, since you're talking to somebody that's over 60, you know, creeping 40 to me is like, really? So, we'll talk to you again sometime here in the next couple weeks. I've got some Chicago people coming on next week, a home healthcare nurse there, another writer up there, but people with ties to Chicago. Yeah, they'll be on. And I like to give my guests a chance to be part of, because I'm going to do a voiceover after this interview, and then I always close out with a song, and I try and make it appropriate for whoever I have there. So do you have a Social Distortion one you think that is thematic with tonight?
Yeah, actually, can we change it from Social Distortion? I got a good one.
What's that?
Can we do Raisin Hell by Lucero?
Oh, you and I, okay. And then you make me cry, because you know Lucero's my favorite band in the world. So
Lucero's my favorite band. Lucero's my favorite band in the world, too. I got a Lucero L tattooed on my arm. I watched Ben Nichols play on Instagram for an hour and a half last night.
Everybody else was tuning into other people, and I watched Ben Nichols play. You know, it was I am so happy you did that, but you want to do Raisin Hell?
There's a line, and when people ask me about how my life goes, there's a line in that song. It's, my little brother's raising hell down in Texas.
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry. My little brother's raising hell down in Texas. Whiskey nights, rodeo, strippers down in Austin. He's had a real good time. He could remember the stories, but he forgets how to tell them. I'm ad-libbing, but whiskey nights and rodeos and strippers down in Austin, that's pretty much when life gets back to normal. I'm looking forward to getting back to whiskey nights and rodeos.
Oh, yeah. I get it. And I'm, you know what? And we're all sitting here talking about missing something. And the one thing that I need to do personally, because, I mean, Buffalo's a great city, but its music scene's a little lame, of course, is I need to get myself on the road, and I need to go find Lucero where they're playing somewhere south of the Ohio River, and just go spend the night there. listening to Ben and them. That's what everybody has something they're looking forward to out of this. I'm looking forward to that personally.
Come on down to Austin. Well, you want to go to a party? You come see Lucero. We got a song written about us. You come see Lucero in Austin, Texas. You will have one of the greatest nights of your life because it is the funnest show with drunk people screaming along, sending shots to the band. And it is a huge party when that band comes to Austin. They are beloved in this town. They are revered in Austin, Texas.
Well, let's make it a date, my friend, on the other side of this. All right?
Absolutely.
We'll get through it, and we'll do that. You take care of yourself, all right? And I will be talking to you within the next couple weeks here, all right? We'll get you back on air and see how things are down in Texas. Robert Dean, I truly enjoyed that conversation tonight because he and I met one another in New Orleans. And I had friends in Austin at the time that he moved over there. And as we come out of this time, and I was talking with him after the interview was over off the air, I think the thing that I hope people will reevaluate, and I know it's hammered home to me, is the depth of our friendships and how important they are. I have people that I text every day, people that I talk to every day, just to say, checking in, you okay? I love my friends. Like Ash says, I got a weird way of showing it, but I love my friends. What you've been listening to here, Desolation Angel Radio, if you're new to it, it was a show that I did once a week for about 8 years. It was a couple hours worth of music, and last week, Sunday, I switched it over. It's on every night of the week right now, and I bring on different people, everyday people, and I've met so many people across the U.S. to talk about what's happening and how this affects them and what's going on. To provide a point of connection, to provide a forum, to provide a community. The show's available on Spotify, on iHeartRadio, on iTunes, on Apple Podcasts, on Stitcher, anywhere that has podcasts. Desolation Angel Radio is there, and it's free. You can subscribe to it. I've opened up the library. You can catch everything all the way back, especially this week and as we move forward from it. And whoever you are out there, I want to hear from you. Your voice counts. You're important. You count. If you live in Buffalo or Western New York, even as we come into the pause, what is being called the pause, I do have the okay. I will be continuing to offer grocery runs and pharmacy runs to the vulnerable population that by executive order can't leave their house. People over 70, cancer patients, transplant patients, immune suppressed people, people with underlying heart and lung conditions. I do it safely. I do it keeping social distancing. I actually wear an N99 mask, not just an N95. Single-use gloves, obsessive washing of hands, and use of sanitary wipes. Solo runs, only one person's groceries or pharmacy pickup per run, so things don't get mixed up. I'm a nightmare to get around or try and get near in public. I will say that for anyone who knows me personally, you can probably attest to that. I'm a nightmare to try and get within 6 to 8 feet of, because those are things that need to be done. And this show will be on the air all the way through this. We need to somehow chronicle what is happening. And there's more than one person doing what I'm doing. There are writers doing it. There are other podcasters doing it. But we need worldwide, there's over 1 billion people quarantined or ordered to stay in place or ordered to stay indoors. Over 1 billion people worldwide. Who we are, what we are, how we live will be fundamentally changed forever moving forward from this if we get through it. My name is Kip Williams. If you live in the Western New York area or if you're somebody that wants, you can find me on Facebook. Definitely you will figure out it's me, Kip Williams in Buffalo. One look at the picture matches the voice. Or you can find Desolation Angel Radio on Facebook or the Nomad Project, which is my project that is doing that work, taking care of the needs of our most vulnerable populations. You can contact me that way. And I give my phone number out. If you want to call in and talk, or if you know of someone in need here in Western New York, one of those members of the vulnerable populations that needs somebody to stop by once every couple of weeks and do a grocery run, area code 504-717-8386. I'll be on the air again tomorrow night, Sunday, we will have Greg Haley, at the very least, out of Eugene, Oregon, an old friend. And I hope to have maybe a couple other people expand the Sunday show a little bit because it's Sunday. We'll close out with Raising Hell from Lucero, as Robert requested. And I will talk to you all again tomorrow. We will get through this. We will get through this, and we will get through this together. We are learning how to do this without physical contact. The only thing we have is emotional contact, mental contact, voice contact. That's part of this show, is so people can hear voices and know that they're still part of community and still connected. I will talk to you again tomorrow. Have a great one. And,
So my little brother is raising hell, living down in Texas. Probably ought to be in jail from the stories that he tells us. Whiskey nights, rodeos, and strippers down in Austin. He's had himself some real good times. Vicky Jones will call him. Oh. As money's running out, jobs in his future, looking like his rap days are done. And now he's sizing up his choices, that job just ain't won. Which way to run? Always well, wouldn't be the man if the tears dried up in crying eyes. They thought he's coming home, but I ain't that good for you. Started it long ago, you know that much is true. Now dry your eyes, say goodbye, he knows I ain't the one. That's me, same old shit. Keep pulling me off now. There won't be quite any bits up off the ground. Always got big plans. Always in the works. That's where it did pay off. Luck don't get out first. Oh. If I'm right, I can tell you I'm having fun. Oh, I give it one more shot. Race it ain't quite done. I hit the ground and run. Hit the ground and run. Y'all say which way to run. Let's hit the ground and run.
That's right. And he's still down there, too. Still raising hell.